The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Durham probe into the Russia collusion hoax.
President Trump has just been impeached on both Article 1
and... The only president of the United States to be impeached for a second
time. January 6th committee releasing its final 845-page report.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted.
Remember this. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead.
This is a party that wants an outsider badly.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
You must keep pushing forward. Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit, you'll want to go home. I can't do it. I can't do it. Just never quit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. And you will have the faith to replace a broken establishment with a government that serves and protects the people. They're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way. And I always will stand in their way.
Awesome video there put together by, well, at least I saw it at the MAGA War Room Twitter feed, but that was produced, I believe, last week. An inspirational look back, really, over the past 7 years and what this man, one man, has been fighting against. He fights back, and that's why the attacks on him have been so relentless. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us for today's program. Just go to the Trumpet Daily or TrumpetDaily.com webpage, and you can watch the live video stream of this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. So much to get to on today's show. We're going to let quite a few of the clips that we play for you, including one mega montage, we'll let them speak for themselves. It tells a pretty good story about yesterday, which was a spectacle. This is the United States of America, the world's greatest single superpower in history. The greatest superpower in history. And look at what it has come to. I think it was Carolyn Glick. She tweeted yesterday, America is cracking up. It's falling apart. It's breaking down. And of course, this is a message that Donald Trump keeps delivering. We're a nation in decline, he said in his speech last night at Mar-a-Lago. And he's convinced. He's ready. He's ready to continue fighting. You saw the commentators yesterday, and, you know, his face was there as it was going from the elevator doors over to the courtroom. They saw him for 3 or 4 seconds, and oh, he looks defeated. He is so scared. He just sent out an email to his supporters today. I sat in a courtroom in the city I grew up in, the city I raised my family in, the city I loved, to hear that I could face 136 years in prison for having committed no crime. 136 years, 34 counts, all of them basically a cut and paste job. 11 payments into three supposedly misdemeanors, and then just copy it out every single time. There was nothing added to what many people speculated was in there. And then when the indictment finally happened, and we heard all about it on Friday, everyone was saying, well, there has to be even more. I mean, he talked about a pause for 30 days, but then there must have been some big bombshell, some testimony they got at the last minute to make this so damning. And as it turns out, there's nothing there. Nothing. Here's Donald Trump again. No crime. He says, but I did not sit there feeling sorry for myself. I felt sorry for our country because this is not America. This is not America. How would you expect him to go into court on these kinds of bogus charges? Angry, upset, I mean, to say the least. I mentioned that Telegraph piece from yesterday. Welcome to America's Day of Shame. A day of shame for the United States. America awoke on Tuesday ready to face a day of ignominy. We sure did face it. But then you listen to his speech last night, 20, 30 minutes at Mar-a-Lago, and he's ready to roll up his sleeves and get to work again. He's ready to fight. And look at what he's going up against. This is Mark Levin from his show on Sunday. I didn't have time to play this the other day. Clip 13.
This is an effort to destroy Donald Trump after he left the presidency and now is the leading Republican potential nominee for president of the United States against the regime in Washington, against the Biden administration, against the Department of Justice and their special counsel, whose family is heavily involved in the Democrat Party. This is an onslaught by a Democrat Party who despises this country, who's filled with individuals who despise this country, whose legislative efforts are to transform America into some kind of a tyranny.
He's going up against the regime. You'll recall, as I've pointed out so many times before, that there's a chapter in He Was Right about the communist infiltration of the United States. He's going up against a communist, a Marxist regime. And everyone and their dog now knows it. Herbert Armstrong was talking about it back in the 1950s. Even before that, actually. Call that number you just saw on the screen, the 800 number. If you live in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. So here was the moment the propagandists in the media, they've been waiting for this for 7 years. We've got to put him behind bars. We've got to arrest this man. He's a criminal. Here's clip 11.
You're saying as soon as he enters that building, he is technically under arrest?
Yes. He will be in the custody of the DA's office investigators, obviously with his Secret Service guard as well. And he will be told he is under arrest and he is in their custody at this time.
So at this moment at 1:24 p.m. Eastern time, Donald J. Trump is under arrest?
Yes, he is.
And I think it's worth taking a pause for a moment and recognizing the moment that we're in that we've never been in before. And that is that when he walked into that courthouse and he was escorted officially, Donald Trump, former president of the United States, front runner for the Republican nomination for president of the United States, is now under arrest. We've never seen it before. It is a sobering moment.
We want to take a moment to reflect really on this historic nature, right, of what's happening today as we witness a critical moment in this country's democracy and our history. And
so, as everybody knows, this is totally unprecedented in our history. country. And I think it's really important to understand that what's happening today is very much in line with what the founders envisioned.
You can't get much more sick than that, to say that this is what the founders wanted. The founders? Aren't they racist? Weren't they slave owners? Aren't we supposed to tear down their statues? That's what they said 2 seconds ago. Now they're bringing, I guess George Washington would love to see Donald Trump behind bars. I mean, this is sick and demented reasoning. The founders are behind it, this guy says. There they are, just, oh, it's riveting. One lady said, this is like the Super Bowl. But now they made sure throughout the day as well that they talked about how sad this was for America, how sobering this is for the United States. Listen to this montage from Grabian, clip 9.
It's a sad day for America. Hard stop.
This is no time for celebration. I think it's sad.
I have fought Trump for a long time, but I'm sad that this has happened.
How are you feeling about a historic day? It's sad.
And this is a day of profound sadness that an ex-president is indicted, but it's also a time to celebrate.
Because it's a sad moment to see a former president have to do this, even though we feel it could lead to justice.
If you don't see this, it's a sad day for America.
It's a sad day for America.
It's a sad day.
Well, I don't think anybody can consider it a good day.
Regardless of anything, it's just really sad.
The sadness, I think, that we got to this point.
I just want to remain measured.
The left, full of somber support.
I think, really, this should be a somber moment. It is a serious, somber, solemn moment.
It's obviously a somber moment, and it's a sad moment.
Well, it's really a sad day when we get to this point.
Incredibly sad day for our country.
It is a serious night and a somber moment for our country.
But this is a really sad moment and a perilous moment.
A sad moment, say the people that have been fantasizing about Trump in handcuffs for 7 years. They've been, I think it was Tucker last night who said praying before the altar of Baal for this to happen. And they finally got it. They finally got it. And listen to them. Listen to them go on. I don't know if there's a more self-righteous, sanctimonious crowd than these people reporting on these events. Propagandists, all of them. Every single one. And then, as you know, and Grabian, of course, points this out often, they all say the same thing. They get the same talking points from Media Matters, from the New York Times, and then they're all in unison, just like a bunch of droids. So we put together this, again, Trump went to New York, they followed every move, as I said yesterday, leaving Mar-a-Lago, getting onto the plane, etc., etc. Every single step that he took, even his hairdo, they were talking about him getting his hair ready for the arraignment. Then he returns last night, and he gives the speech at Mar-a-Lago, and in case you didn't notice, there was quite a bit more coverage of what Donald Trump is saying now at his rallies, at his speeches. The whole world is watching, and the man isn't, as he said in his email blast today. He's not sitting around wallowing in self-pity. He doesn't feel bad so much for himself. It's for the country. So this is the mega montage that we've put together, and I think it pretty well encapsulates everything that we witnessed or saw yesterday on the news, clip 1.
And this is where we are right now. I have a Trump-hating judge with a Trump-hating wife and family whose daughter worked for Kamala Harris and now receives money from the Biden-Harris campaign and a lot of it. We recently had another trial, and the same judge told the fine man who worked for me for many, many years that if you admit your guilt, you will be in jail for 90 days. But if you don't, if we go through a trial and you're found guilty, you're going away for 10 years and maybe longer, which for a 75-year-old man with a great family really means life. What the prosecutors and judge did to that man, I will never forget, because it's right out of the old Soviet Union. They're threatening jail terms. But talk about Trump and you'll go free. This is where we are as a nation. Who would have thought they can't beat us at the ballot box, so they try and beat us through the law. That's the country in which we live, however, right now. The USA is a mess.
Under New York State law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes.
And I never thought anything like this could happen in America. Never thought it could happen. The only crime that I have committed is to fearlessly defend our nation from those who seek to destroy it.
Ms. Bryant, in Beckman's class, that there were 34 false business records. And they would then conceal another crime, but indictment does not specifically say what those crimes were. We are assuming, perhaps, that they might be election-related. I'm wondering if you can specify what laws were also broken.
Sure. So let me say as an initial matter that the indictment doesn't specify that because the law does not so require.
But it's far worse than that, because he knew there was no case. That's why last week he delayed for a month and then immediately took that back and threw this ridiculous indictment together. Came out today, everybody said, this is not really an indictment. There's nothing here. My lawyers came to me and they said, there's nothing here. They're not even saying what you did. The criminal is the district attorney because he illegally leaked massive amounts of grand jury information for which he should be prosecuted, or at a minimum, he should resign.
Well, speaking as someone who very strongly does not want Donald Trump to get the Republican presidential nomination, I'm extraordinarily distressed by this document. I think this is even weaker than I feared it would be. And I think it's easily subject to being dismissed or a quick acquittal for Trump.
This is part of Get Trump. And this comes from a liberal Democrat who maintains his right as a constitutional matter to vote against Donald Trump for the third time.
In terms of a case that's being brought against a former president, it's a little underwhelming. It's really the facts of this case as they have existed for basically almost 7 years.
I mean, look, if this is the only pebble that gets thrown at Donald Trump, it's a very small pebble.
He had nothing. He came out and he didn't meet the moment. He didn't meet the moment. And even the media knew he didn't meet the moment because the man couldn't sell it. If you can't explain the charge in 30 seconds, you don't have a case. And the man could not explain the charge. He didn't even put the felony charge, the election charge, in the indictment and said, I didn't really have to, so I didn't. Get out of here, man. You're charging the former president and you didn't even say what the charge is? Come on.
I built a great business with my family, built a fantastic business. I have a son here who's done a great job, and I have another son here who's done a great job. And Ivanka and Barron will be great someday. He's tall. He is tall, and he's smart. But I have a great family, and they've done a fantastic job, and we appreciate it very much. They've gone through hell.
That last bit in particular, I mean, what a contrast to the Biden crime family. When you think about Joe Biden's son and all the corruption, all the criminality that he's gotten involved in, and then some of the seedy details of that family dynamic in the daughter's journal, what she wrote about her father, Joe Biden, and the showers and things that they took. And then here he is last night, praising his family. Even Ivanka, she's not there. She's not part of the campaign, as I said on yesterday's show. They want to trash this man. And of course, he's had marital infidelities in his history. He's in his mid-70s now. And he's been married for what, almost 20 years to Melania? And his sons are there supporting him, helping the family business. He's created a successful business, as he said there. A touching moment, for sure. And this is the man, this is the family. They're not going to stop at Donald Trump, and Republicans are fools if they think they're going to stop at the Trump family. I mean, he's enemy number one for sure. But they want to destroy this American family and everything associated with it. As Trump says, they're after him because really they're after you. They're after America. This is tyranny, as Mark Levin said. America has been taken over by the radicals. So here comes Bragg with his 34 repeat charges and says that they were all meant to cover up crimes. And then he doesn't state what the crimes are in the indictment. I mean, it's laughable in a sense. I mean, how does Donald Trump, he did plead not guilty, but what's he pleading not guilty to if he won't even spell out, Bragg that is, if he won't even spell out what the underlying crime is? Now, in the press conference, which was a disaster, by the way, everyone in the media, the legacy media, knows how disastrous this day was for the New York DA. And so what do they key in on last night? Trump, he gave a speech and he actually singled out this corrupt judge. And he says the real criminal here is the DA. He definitely needs the gag order. The judge definitely needs to gag him. They can say whatever they want about Donald Trump, and they have said some vicious things over the past 7 years. They've been itching for his assassination, even. They've been dreaming about this, as I say, dreaming about the handcuffs. And then to go on and on, how rich is that yesterday? This is very sad. A very sad day. These people hate the United States of America. They're all talking heads for the communist regime, for sure. So obvious, and the world sees it. The world sees what's going on here. And Donald Trump sees it. So here comes Bragg. There's all the coverage. 124, he's arrested. And then he has to release the indictment so that everyone can see it. And like Van Jones said there, it's just a tiny little pebble. CNN, the woman on CNN says it's underwhelming. This is what you're using to supposedly take down a former president? A little pebble? It's probably the first of many more. But still, shows you how desperate they are. ABC News says prosecutors allege Trump employed a catch-and-kill scheme to identify, purchase, and bury negative information about him and boost his electoral prospects. You cannot make this up. He kind of alluded to this in the Q&A during the press conference, saying something to the effect that there was a conspiracy here and it was meant to boost his chances in the 2016 election. In other words, Donald Trump is the one who manipulated the election process. And here we've had all of these revelations in just recent months of the DOJ, the FBI, the media, the covering up Hunter's laptop, the 51 intel agents that came out and said, yeah, this is clearly Russian disinformation. All of these people, Twitter, social media, Facebook, all of these people, these organizations, these agencies working to prevent Donald Trump from winning the 2020 election, cheating top to bottom. And they're going to try to get Donald Trump, evidently. But we still don't know because it's not in the indictment. And to hear the media go on and on about the conspiracy, then you get the indictment, the word conspiracy is not even in there. So what is this about? Michael Cohen, he receives 11 checks from Trump's organization pertaining to these payments to Stormy Daniels and a couple other people, I think it is. So they break the checks down into, you know, three crimes with each check that was written. This is how he was lying, I guess. And Jesse Waters puts it best. You know, you put a figure in the wrong ledger, and that's it. You're worse than a murderer. You're off to jail for an accounting error. 34 counts, 4 years each, 136 years in prison, seriously. Yesterday I told you you see the same people that wanted to defund law enforcement just 2 seconds ago. And now, I mean, they're really serious about the rule of law. Listen to Tucker last night as he talks about this indictment, clip 10.
Unless we're misreading this, the actual crime is not listed in the indictment? How can that be?
It's unreal, honestly, Tucker. Let's talk about what we can see in the indictment, which is the years and the dates. And I'm no crazy, brilliant human being, but I'm pretty sure I know how to read a calendar. So we have dates going in February 2017 for a few months there. Where was President Trump in February 2017? In the Oval Office, okay? So what they're saying is there were checks written to his former lawyer while he was in the Oval Office. That's in Washington, D.C. So just on its face, what we do know from this, what he failed to put in was any factual basis, of course, as you pointed out. But what we do know, Tucker, is that he was sitting in the Oval Office. Now, explain to me how that's campaign finance interference, how that affected the election when everyone knew about Stormy in 2016. It makes no sense on its face, which is probably why it's intentionally vague.
Intentionally vague. It was meant to be that way. It's Alvin Bragg basically kind of testing the waters. And in the coming months, he'll see what sticks. He'll see what's there. Again, they've got the criminal. In their minds, they've got the criminal. They just need to find the crime. And so that's why the Mar-a-Lago raid. That's why the Mueller investigation. Remember the Mueller investigation? 500 pages and everybody just so, they were so eagerly anticipating the testimony. And then Bob Mueller gets up there. I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, that doesn't ring a bell with me. Mr. Mueller, you say on page 200. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Don't know. It was the pit bull, Weissman and company, that were just fishing. They were on a huge fishing expedition to try to find the crime and to slap it on Donald Trump. Impeachment number one, impeachment number two. This is why, and this is a really stunning turn of events in my mind. You've got not just Jesse Waters, you've got Ari Fleischer. He's about as establishment Republican as you can get. These are people that are now saying, we have got to go prosecute them. We have got to prosecute these radical Democrats, or else they're not going to stop. Where was that kind of talk 7 years ago? Because remember, Donald Trump, from day one, he said that Hillary Clinton deserves to be in jail. She should be in jail for destroying 33,000 emails that were under subpoena. Jim Comey admitted she committed a crime, but said that, well, she just kind of didn't know what she was doing. And no serious, you know, prosecutor would actually go after this. I mean, she made an innocent mistake when she smashed up all those computers, those phones. Trump said from day one, these people are criminals. They're crooks. He's exposed them all along the way. That's why they hate the man so much, even as they go on yesterday. Talking about how sad it is. Very, very sad. Sad day. They're embarrassed, these people. They're embarrassed. Because they know that Bragg didn't deliver the goods. He didn't live up to this moment. What an important moment it was for him and for the radical left. And then what do we find? He did all these things to cover up crimes. What crimes? Well, it's not necessary that I actually spell that out. Well, then how's Donald Trump going to defend himself? What, this is American justice? This is jungle justice, as I've been saying. Listen to Andy McCarthy as he breaks it down, clip 7.
Neil, if the judge does his job right here, the case should be dismissed, and it actually should be dismissed quickly. I agree with what my friends have said, but I think this is actually worse than what we anticipated, because what we anticipated was that they were trying to bootstrap a misdemeanor, which, by the way, they'd have a good deal of difficulty proving if it was just the misdemeanor. But they need to show that he concealed another crime in supposedly falsifying the business records. And what we've thought up until now is that he was going to use that as an avenue to enforce federal campaign finance law. Now, maybe that's what he's planning to do, but he's got to tell us what he's planning to do. And more importantly, he's got to tell Donald Trump. So I think
This indictment, even before you get to the statute of limitations and whether he's got jurisdiction to enforce federal law, I would dismiss it on its face because it fails to state a crime.
An indictment that fails to state a crime. Can you believe this? This is not happening in some third world banana republic. It's happening in the United States of America. Listen to Trump from last night, clip three.
This fake case was brought only to interfere with the upcoming 2024 election, and it should be dropped immediately. Immediately.
Election interference. It's just another tool. It's just another weapon in the hands of these radicals to try to interfere with the next election. They've used a lot of tools with the previous ones, and they've been exposed after the fact. But see, no one will hold them to account. It's like my father said, following the Mueller farce. Who went to jail? Did Peter Strzok go to jail? No, he got hired by MSNBC. Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, Jim Comey. Jim Comey's tweeting out, this is a good day for America. It was a good day last week when the indictment was announced. Then he tweets out again yesterday, this is another good day. These people are communists. They're traitors. Who says that? The indictment comes out. There's no specific crime in there. And Jim Comey, who used to run the FBI, he's tweeting out, this is another good day. Get Trump. These people don't even know how Satan has gotten to their minds, their reasonings, their thinking, if you can even call it that. An indictment with no crime. You know, and there's those like McCarthy and others calling for a dismissal. This judge, though, like Trump correctly pointed out, he's a Trump-hating judge. He's married to a Trump-hating wife, Bragg and his family. And, of course, you have Obama connections all through this. I won't have time to get into it. There's another article on that, some research Sam has done. They all hate Donald Trump. That's clear. And then Donald Trump goes back, you know, evidently they talked in that hearing yesterday about a gag order, and the judge said he didn't want to do that, but he warned Donald Trump, said you better be careful. And then Trump promptly leaves the courtroom, flies home, gives a speech last night, and says the judge is a Trump-hating judge. To me, that doesn't sound like he's scared or he's running for his life or he's in it just for himself. He's exposing them. And there's a lot of people on the right that are hoping that as corrupt as this judge is, because there's an indictment with no crime in it, that maybe he will dismiss it. He probably won't. I heard Kash Patel say earlier today that the Trump people ought to stretch this out. Let it go on for 2 years and bleed them to death through the discovery process. You know, our lawsuit with the Worldwide Church of God over Mystery of the Ages and all the writings of Herbert Armstrong that we now have available because of that litigation. It went on for 6 years, and we basically won the fight in the end, not in court. We won the fight through the discovery process. As we got all of those internal communications from the Worldwide Church, it exposed the lies of these lawless people that were heading up the church that God used Herbert Armstrong to raise up. 6 years of discovery. They talked after the fact like, yeah, it was just an innocent coming of light moment for us as Jesus was helping us understand that our doctrinal understanding was flawed before with Herbert Armstrong, and so we kind of saw the light. And then you see the internal discovery documents, and it tells you another story, a sinister story, of them actively working to undermine Herbert Armstrong and his teachings from the beginning, even before Herbert Armstrong died. They were imposters. They were traitors. And the discovery process revealed that. Patel might be right. Let it drag on. Let it drag on. Let the radical left react with rage every time Trump speaks. Boy, it'll be interesting to see if there is any kind of gag order. What happens then, not just with Donald Trump, but with his movement, with his supporters. people itching for a civil war, really, and a system of justice that is clearly broken. It's just broken. And look, at the Passover ceremony last night, we heard about the unjust trial surrounding that last day of Jesus Christ's life, and how that these people in charge of the justice system, they used it to murder Christ. This is not unusual, these kinds of events in history. I mean, it's pretty sobering, almost terrifying, to see it just completely collapse and break down in the United States at the moment. I mean, it's not like even in our history, there's never been a case, you know, an unfair or unjust ruling. But the way that the founders set it up is that you're innocent until proven guilty. It's been completely flipped on its head. You speak of Christ there in the Gospels, but look at all the other instances in history where God's people have had to deal with a little bit of unjust ruling, unjust judges. You can see in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's decree to worship a golden idol. That's in Daniel 3. The counselors that deceived Darius to outlaw praying, that's in Daniel 6. And God's servants, of course, persecuted for obeying God rather than men, for refusing to go along with an unjust ruling, making a stand, a courageous stand at that. There's the story in Ezra 4 where the enemies of the Jews get this decree to prevent them from, or to prevent the Jews from rebuilding or building the temple. Haman, he deceives Xerxes into issuing this decree of genocide against the Jews. That's in the book of Esther, of course. Recently, I had a lecture where I was talking about Paul's imprisonment. He was arrested in Jerusalem and sent off to prison. Well, he was arrested in Jerusalem and detained there. And then there was an assassination plot to try to take Paul out, to kill him. And the Roman authorities had enough sense to scoot him out of Jerusalem over to Caesarea. They gave him an army escort, basically. But then he spent 2 years in jail in Caesarea, had all these interactions with Felix and Agrippa, and he gets right to the end of that two-year stint, and Agrippa's having this conversation with Paul where he says, Paul, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. So Paul, he was persecuted, he went off to jail, and yet he just kept doing God's work. He didn't wallow in self-pity. He just kept serving God from jail. And Agrippa said, if Paul, remember, he said, I appeal to Caesar. I want to go to Rome. And Agrippa said, had he not made that appeal, he probably would have been set free. God was behind all of those events. I mean, that's the real comfort and hope here. We've told you about the prophecies in 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7 and other places. And so there's a good outcome that's coming from this, but only for a short time. In the short run, if you step back and look at the larger picture, of course, you can see that the curses are intensifying, that the sickness is worsening, and that it is, in fact, leading to a civil war. What do you think the radical left will do when Donald Trump is back in power? Suddenly, rioting is going to be in vogue again. Rioting is going to be, you know, the people's voice. They've got to speak. It's a broken system. My father had, I mentioned this last week, America's Broken Judgment. It's from the March 2021 Trumpet Magazine. And in this piece, my father goes through prophecies in Micah 3 and Micah 7, I believe, and then Hosea, Hosea chapter 5. All of these scriptures, Micah 3:9, for example, says, "Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity." They abhor judgment. They pervert equity. They talk about equity. Don't be like Mr. Hilliker said in that article I quoted last week. Don't be fooled by their language. you know, tolerance, equity, equality. Don't be fooled by their language. They hate any and all forms of opposition and want to do everything that they can to stamp it out, to blot it out. My father says here, that's our system of justice, and God tells his messenger to address the rulers directly. Hear this. Hear this. People must hear God's rebuke about justice, or they will suffer more than any nation ever has. Do you hear this? Do you hear it? See, here, Jim Comey is the former head of the FBI. He's tweeting out these little cutesy statements. But then Donald Trump, he goes back home. He gives a speech and he says, the system's corrupt. And then their heads explode. Oh, he's got to be gagged, this guy. How dangerous. The judge's life is now in danger. It's Donald Trump's life that's in danger. And you can be sure his enemies would love for him to be engaged in all kinds of trials all over the country. They get a time and a place knowing where Trump's going to be, all of his movements. I mean, they're already arguing, the two sides, over how many times does Trump have to come to Manhattan. It's not exactly friendly territory anymore. You know that if this doesn't work, they've tried everything, right? You think if they had the opportunity to use the assassin's bullet, they wouldn't try something like that? It's happened before in America's history. They're trying to assassinate him politically at the moment. Interference in the 2024 election. That's what it amounts to. Trump is exactly right about that. My father says here that they may, this is quoting Micah 7, verse 3, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks, and the judge asks for a reward, and the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. It says here, my father writes, politicians and judges are taking the initiative in seeking personal reward. How abominable. How abominable. Hey, listen. You plead guilty. We'll put you in the slammer for 3 months. If you don't, it's going to be 10 years. And you know what makes it even better for you? Is if you turn on Trump like Cohen did. Cohen's the star witness. He's a convicted liar. And then Stormy Daniels, you know about her history. These are the two, the stars of the indictment. And Donald Trump goes back home and he says, look, we built a good company. I've got a great son down here in the front row, and I've got another son over here. And I really appreciate everything that they've done for this family business. I've got another one growing up. He's a tall lad. My daughters, look at what they've been through. Look at what these evil actors have put them through. Anyone else? Anyone else just collapses under the pressure of that relentless attack from the radical left. But not this family. It's pretty unusual. Listen to Mark Levin, his reaction to the indictment last night, clip 4.
Donald Trump is a historic figure, or they wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't be doing this. There wouldn't have been a January 6th committee. There wouldn't have been a Mueller criminal investigation. There wouldn't have been two phony impeachments. Listen to this, America. There wouldn't have been a warrant, which is inexcusable, an unconstitutional warrant in my view. An FBI SWAT team sent to his home. There have been, in the course of the last few months, 5 grand juries controlled by Democrats. Over what? You would have thought this man took money from the communist Chinese. You would have thought his son took money from the communist Chinese. You would have thought he's the criminal of the century. What exactly did he do? So they have to concoct all these phony crimes because he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he alludes to the timing there, which is also a significant component to this story. The fact that the indictment goes forward right as the House, they've now got the receipts. They've now got the receipts to show that the Biden crime family is receiving payments from the CCP. And they're going to get Donald Trump on an accounting error, if it's even an error. Hillary Clinton paid for the Steele dossier, a package of lies, out of campaign funds, and then in the ledger box said it's for legal fees. Is she in jail? Did Alvin Bragg go after her? Will anyone go after her? Here's clip five.
Look at Trump today. He gives his speech at Mar-a-Lago. This is a man who's committed to fighting these abuses, who's committed to fighting these Marxists, who's committed to fighting the tyranny. He talks about securing the border. They don't want to secure the border. He talks about sound money. They don't want sound money. He talks about building up the military. They want a woke military. He backs the cops. They hate the cops. And I could go on and on and on. Look what he did to our economy. Look what he did with energy independence. He was supposed to be Barack Obama's third term with Hillary Clinton, and he stopped them. And this is payback, and they're not going to give up. We, the American people, need to stand behind this guy. There's not another Republican that I can think of who can fight back and fight back this way.
It's pretty amazing. That's Mark Levin of 2017. That's a little bit of a flashback to the fiery commentator as soon as Trump was coming into office. I think his message has gotten weaker since then. In fact, I think he was, I may be mistaken, but I think he was leaning in the direction of DeSantis. Last night, he says, there's no other Republican that can fight against this tyranny, and we need to get behind Donald Trump. I mean, this is a pretty significant change. You've already seen it over the last week with Fox News, Jesse Waters, Tucker, and the others, rising in defense of Donald Trump. You're already seeing how it's backfiring. And then the indictment comes out. Yeah, he did all these things, and it was to cover up a crime. Excuse me, Mr. Bragg, what crime was that exactly? Well, it's not actually in the indictment, and the law says that we don't actually have to include it in the indictment. They're shooting themselves in the foot, these radicals. One final one from Levin, clip six.
The Democrat Party is trying to destroy the Republican Party, and they're going to succeed if this works. The Democrat Party's trying to choose the Republican nominee. The Democrat Party has been hijacked by Marxist radicals. Victor Davis Hanson is correct. We are in a revolution. And this guy, Donald Trump, is standing up to it like very few can. And they are trying to destroy him. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to make a martyr out of him. Because there's nobody else that could stand up to this and withstand this day in and day out the way he does.
There's nobody else, says Mark Levin. He's standing up to the communist takeover of the United States. And it's time, as he says, that we rally around him. Now, you look, and it's not just like they're wanting to stop at Donald Trump, as I say, just destroy Trump. Their goal, as we've said so often, this is in America Under Attack, is to fundamentally transform the United States. Yes, Obama was there, remember? Hillary Clinton was supposed to be his third term, as he brought out there, and it didn't happen. And this is payback, and the mechanisms to pay back Donald Trump were put in place by the dear leader, Barack Obama. All the spying, all the FISA warrants, the bogus investigation into Russian meddling, the dossier, all of those things. Jim Comey, Obama's been pushing the buttons from the beginning. Obama's the one that ordered this hit that we've seen over the past week. And they can't even find a crime. Not even in the indictment. Listen to Donald Trump last night as he talked about just how destructive this illegitimate administration has been. Clip two.
If you took the five worst presidents in the history of the United States and added them up, they would not have done near the destruction to our country as Joe Biden and the Biden administration have done. Incredibly, we are now a failing nation. We are a nation in decline. And now these radical left lunatics want to interfere with our elections by using law enforcement. We can't let that happen. With all of this being said, and with a very dark cloud over our beloved country. I have no doubt, nevertheless, that we will make America great again. Thank you very much.
Doesn't exactly sound like a defeated man. He's exposing the level of destruction on the one hand, and he's preparing to fight on the other. It makes you think about those Jews I mentioned earlier that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city walls, and how that it says in Ezra, I forget the chapter, but basically they've got their instrument for building in one hand, and then they've got the weapon of defense in the other hand, constantly on guard, constantly looking back over their shoulder just to make sure, because there were so many enemies that wanted to blot them out, that wanted to destroy their work, their movement. And God gave them favor along the way, the sure word of prophecy. It's pretty amazing. So much history in the Bible. Again, just to draw a few spiritual parallels here, the twists and the turns of the Apostle Paul's arrest and all the shipwrecks that he was involved in. I spoke about that recently. It's just amazing to think about the setbacks and the obstacles and the problems and the difficulties. Paul lists them all out in 2 Corinthians 11. You really can hardly wrap your mind around the level of persecution and attacks that were hurled at the Apostle Paul. And yet he said, I gloried in my infirmities. If God said, hey, my grace is sufficient, then Paul just accepted it. There is a certain amount of relaxed faith that we need when navigating our way through trials. But there's also a lot of courage and strength and action that we've got to take. My father sent out a coworker letter just this past week, and he emphasized action over and over again and opportunities. It's amazing. Just again, this is just Donald Trump. He's not a Bible figure, except that there are prophecies about a Jeroboam figure. He doesn't understand the truth of God or God's purpose, but he does go forward. He will not quit, as that video we played at the beginning points out. He says himself, there will be times when you want to throw in the towel and give up and stop. Don't do it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep going forward. In the spiritual sense, of course, you can look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about Christ as the author. He's the beginning, but he's also the finisher of our salvation. And the Christian's objective is to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. To follow our perfect example, Jesus Christ sacrificed all for the good of mankind so that we could have our sins forgiven upon repentance, so that we could be reconciled to the Father, as I was saying on yesterday's show. And he was resurrected miraculously, 3 days, 3 nights, following his crucifixion. And that kangaroo court that he was in front of, resurrected to life and is at the right hand of God, our head, the head of the church, our advocate, our intercessor, our elder brother, our high priest, our life, because our life is in Christ. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you want to email the show, send us some feedback. That would be td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.